What does it mean to be truly educated? Maria Montessori said, "The education of even a small child, therefore, does not aim at preparing him or her for school, but for life." If teachers are preparing their learners for life, then they need to engage them with life and the world in which they live. Our children will grow up and they will become the stewards of the earth. How we engage them today will determine the future. Julia Fliss is a sixth grade English language arts teacher at Evergreen Middle School in Evergreen, Colorado. She believes in challenging her students to look out the window of her classroom and see themselves as global citizens who are aware of the world in which they live and their obligation to it by integrating the Sustainable Development Goals as a framework for her classroom. Julia is a 2019-20 Teach SDG Ambassador, and she actively engages on Twitter. You can follow her at Julia Fliss. In this episode, I learn how Julia challenges her students to find their passions, discover their purpose, and make a difference in the world by taking them beyond the curriculum. So what are the Sustainable Development Goals and how are they different from other standards?
It's a big question. The Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, are 17 goals put forth by the UN in 2015. They're actually an adaptation of the Millennium Goals that are considered a blueprint for dignity, peace, and prosperity for people and the planet now and in the future. But in general, there are 17 initiatives, each of which has a variety of targets that spread across three different dimensions of sustainable development. So economic, social, and environmental. They're interconnected, they're indivisible, and there are 230 corresponding indicators that are kind of offered up as a way to monitor the goals and serve as a starting point for all of the world to take action using them as a guide.
So why should educators consider incorporating the SDGs into their curriculum? What's their purpose?
So as I said, the goals provide a framework for a shared vision of collaborative learning and collective action that speaks to using education as the most powerful weapon to change the world, to quote Nelson Mandela. So as we prepare a new generation for the changes that are coming, readying them to create solutions to problems that are still unknown, I feel that we must equip them with the tools they need to make sense of, question, synthesize, and take personalized action for, on, and behalf of themselves, our communities, and our planetary ecosystem.
And how can the SDGs be used in schools to help guide curriculum? And how can they actually transform a classroom and student learning?
So in addition to providing that framework, that shared vision for collaborative learning and collective action, they also are a launch point for global collaboration. They're a blueprint in my classroom for inquiry-based learning, design thinking, global citizenship, and student agency, which really fits into, I believe, any curriculum, any content, because they provoke perspective and worldview widening. They really open an opportunity for critical thinking and questioning. They kind of roll out a red carpet for empathy and problem solving in a way that takes the walls away from your classroom. They help kids own, learn, and use metacognitive practices, innovation, creativity, and so much more. In my classroom in particular, we've always looked at the world as our classroom, like bringing in world events or bringing in what's happening in our community, bringing in what happened on the way to school as a way to learn from our experience. So these goals allow kids to see, wow, here's my experience in the world. I wonder how that compares and how that connects with other kids experience in the world. And I wonder how they're dealing with the obstacle they might be facing. And I wonder why my obstacle is different than their obstacle and what causes my experience to be like this in the world and someone else's experience to be completely different. In that way, kids are able to kind of dig deeper, understand their own experience better, grow, learn, and collaborate like they've never been able to collaborate before. They sort of become, I feel like they become more owners of their own education, their own learning, I'll say. They can see out of the window in our classroom to know, okay, I'm sitting in Evergreen, Colorado. This is what my school looks like. These are really the privileges I enjoy. These are the rights I have here. This is how I get to experience the world. And this is not how everyone else does. You know, I might have a challenge in my world where I feel challenged by goal number three, which is good health and well-being. You know, all of us right now looking at how we're experiencing this experience with COVID, but I might be struggling with mental illness. And here are my options because I'm struggling. And here are my opportunities because I'm struggling. Here's who I get to ask for help from. And if you look at other places in the world, those same struggles not only don't exist, and or there aren't the opportunities that we have here to ask for help. Instead, a student might be sitting in a classroom across the world and literally look outside and see a soldier with a gun creating violence right around the school, like right in their school environment. And it's a powerful experience for kids to realize that not everyone experiences the world the same way they do. And as soon as they start to look into that doorway, kind of that window into another world, they start asking questions and their natural curiosity comes out and they start wondering and digging in deeper and getting in touch with their natural inner drive, their inner questioning and sense making of the world. And so there's an opportunity to create conversation around that, along with like deep levels of inquiry that even create conversation at home. I would say that one of the most powerful experiences that transformed our classroom and learning is our experience working with other refugee classrooms in particular. So through the SDGs, we've been able to collaborate globally with classrooms around the world, from classrooms in India and classrooms in the United Arab Emirates, talking about like climate action and what's happening in their worlds compared to ours, to classrooms of refugees where, you know, there isn't really a classroom that exists. It's hundreds of thousands of kids in refugee camps who are looking to learn as their way to create a better world for themselves. And they don't have the resources that we have. They don't have the water supply that we have. They don't have like that level of privilege that we have. And they don't have that safety feeling. They don't have even a level of, I get to be here to learn and here is my safe space. And when my kids look out and see that, they start to appreciate more.
Now, you mentioned that you have your kids connect with classrooms around the world. How does that happen? What tools do you use? Obviously, somebody who is, say, in Saudi Arabia or another part of the world, they're on a different time zone. So how do you connect your students with these other students?
Great question. So we have joined a few global projects from the Goals Project created by Dr. Jennifer Williams to the Climate Action Project through Kuhn Timmers and the Take Action Project, which was by far, I think, my kids' absolute favorite. Also through Take Action Global, there's a global community. And as we've joined those projects, there have been multiple opportunities to do everything from Zoom with another classroom in the world. And yes, there is tricky timing there, to join a collaborative like NASA webinar in which we are able to ask questions and kind of dream the future we want in the world. There have been tech tools like Padlet, anything Google, what else? So much of just like a written sharing, a recorded sharing where we've sent videos, we've used YouTube. There's so many opportunities for us to kind of listen in to other classrooms and then also share with other classrooms what we're experiencing. The Goals Project, for example, launched this last September, and it basically was a project that took any teacher who wanted to sign up could sign up, and you were put into a small group with a facilitator, and each group was kind of, quote, assigned an SDG to focus on. We were, quote, assigned SDG number 16. Like I said, was already one of my favorites. So peace, justice, and strong institutions. And we launched our work in our classroom, which was already around kind of identity creation. Who are we? How can we make a dent in the universe? I'm a big fan of PBL guided inquiry. So our year's theme was already super connected to that. And as we started to look at literature like A Long Walk to Water and Human Experience and The Hero's Journey and The Danger of a Single Narrative, all of those things that I already embed in sixth grade, we brought in peace, justice, and strong institutions in that we looked at our classroom. We looked at, is our education system a just system? Is our education system strong? What's happening in the education system in the United States that could be considered, quote, problematic or an obstacle or a problem we need to address, like the experiences we were reading in the book, which, like I said, A Long Walk to Water, where the main character actually has to flee his classroom at 11 years old, which is the same age as my students, because of the Second Sudanese War. So we might not be experiencing war like other countries are, but we're definitely experiencing other problems. And instead of those problems, you know, me listing them on the board, which I asked the kids, what are the problems we have? And they created lists from food in our cafeteria really needs to be more healthy. It's so full of sugar, to mental health issues, to peer pressure, to kind of social media technology and living an alternate life virtually as versus in person. And how do we navigate that, to school violence and school shootings. I mean, we dug deep into what does it mean to be a student in a school in the United States. We held debates. My kids love them. And we debated, you know, truth statements like all schools should be safe places. And then we looked around the world to see how many schools truly are safe spaces in the world. So that's the Goals Project. We focused on that along with other goals that were already kind of embedded in our particular learning with that book. So like I said, clean water and sanitation, number 6, and then definitely quality education, number 4, because the other main character in the book isn't able to go to school because she's charged with carrying the water for her family, you know, 10 miles a day here and back. And you see how she experiences the world. And, you know, girls in my class were, what? How can she not be able to go to school? That's not okay. And that brings in goal number 5, gender equality. All of the goals are so interconnected. They're integrated with each other in a way that allows a deeper learning as you start to really pay attention to their connections. And as kids start to see that, like they say, oh, that's goal 16. And oh, that's goal 14. And oh, that's it. They light up because they start to see, okay, this is how I can start to understand other kids' experiences in the world, other people's experiences in the world. It's like this mini launch point, this access point to understanding more about what's happening around them, which allows them to really take a look inside of themselves to understand more about themselves. And then they get to choose what they do with that. Choose how to act, choose how to think, choose how to have conversation, choose how to grow.
And that's the transformation, right there, is kids thinking beyond themselves and thinking more globally rather than idiocentric. And yeah, and that's where we want to get kids, is we want to take them outside of themselves and move them to be community minded.
Exactly. Not a seeker of information for the purpose of a checkmarking of a box or a grade on a report card, but because you authentically want to learn how to experience the world in a way that makes it a better place, that allows you to ask yourself, how can I be my best self? You know, how can I contribute to the world? What is my vision for a better world?
Right. Now, I'm really curious how you incorporate these in the classroom. Can you walk me through one of your units, one of your lessons, just how do you bring these, the SDGs into your classroom?
Absolutely. So there's so many different ways. Like I said, I start the year with kind of a guided inquiry. So I provide a model for here's how to connect to the goals via literature, whether it's short story or kind of a novel, human experience. My favorite part, though, is shifting from that kind of teacher-created, although student-driven, because we always go where they want to go, to what's your passion? What do you see in our community or in our school that you feel like we could take action on, right? What do you see? So as a problem finder, what do you see that could improve our local world? Once they see that, then we dig into root causes. Okay, so what do you think is causing that? What are the roots of that problem in our community? So take, for example, the cafeteria food at our school. My kids will go all the way to, well, we don't get enough funding, or we don't have enough time invested to really think about what it means to have a healthy meal. Nobody's asked us ever, mm-hmm. Where's the student voice in this? So the true root causes of why the problem exists. Then we look at the symptoms, like how does it feel? What are the symptoms of knowing this is a problem? And they'll say, well, I crash at the end of the day because everything at lunch is sugar. I for sure can't go do my sport after school. And so they say, my learning is compromised because of this. And then I get in trouble. And then a teacher might discipline. I mean, there's a whole cycle. So they'll look at that and then they get to choose to take action. So they'll look at SDG 3, good health and well-being, and they'll find the individual target card that connects with that. And that is, it can connect like mental health, physical health, emotional health. And those targets, then they dig into even more. We do a research component. They're charged with creating what I call an info mural. And then they present them. As they're doing their research, though, that's my chance to talk with them about media literacy and how to identify a trusted expert and where to go to find credible information and how to look at websites and authors of websites as another chance to dig into another person's narrative. So people might have a reason for creating a website that looks like this, and to see through that, to really look into not being a consumer of information, but being a responsible custodian of information, because their job at the end is to present that to their classmates. It's to convince their classmates of, we need to take action on this project. Up until COVID, we actually were slated to present to our PTA, because our PTA historically has provided funding for those types of projects in our school. 2 years ago, we did something similar prior to me really connecting with the SDGs. And we launched a whole campaign around getting rid of the styrofoam trays in our lunchroom. And so the PTA actually, after we presented to them, funded us to get rid of the styrofoam. It was fantastic. So wow. The kids are becoming the speakers on behalf of their passion and what they care about in the world. That's where you get to take the learning outside the classroom. they get to tap into their passions to do it. So if someone, like I have a couple of kids who love skateboarding, and so they're like, you know what, I'm going to create a board and I'm going to sell it, or I'm going to write letters to Van and I'm going to ask them to use more sustainable practices in their shoe creation. They're getting to tap into their passions, what they care about, connect to what's going on in their community and their filter, like how they see the world, in order to make it a better place. All the while connecting to the SDGs, connecting to reading, writing, and critical thinking skills in a powerful way, collaborating through leadership. They're in essence kind of becoming their own world changers. They're creating their own pathway to bring into action, to like ground that better world that they want to create, to design their future.
Yeah. Well, using the SDGs sound like there's a big push for student voice and choice in school. And a lot of the way that's applied is, well, my voice is, I want to read this book, so I'm going to choose that book. And then at the end, I'll write the essay that my teacher assigns. That's not really voice and choice. Whereas this sounds like we're giving students a choice in how their voice can make an impact in the world that they live in.
Absolutely. And you know, then they're looking for those books. They're like digging in and saying, what else can I read? You know, Ms. Fliss, do you have a recommendation for a book that connects to this is what I'm thinking, this, this, and this? It's not outside in learning. Like, I need a book as a requirement so that I can meet this expectation and then create this. It's backwards. It's, I need to understand more about this. I need to learn more about what else I can do for here and who else has experienced this and where I can go to get more information. And so they're accessing their learning from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Right, right. Now, how can this be used in other content areas? I mean, how can, say, a math teacher or a science teacher tap into the SDGs?
Awesome question. There's a bunch of different ways to answer this, but I think it's about imagining, like, can you imagine if we taught all of our kids to be systems thinkers? Can you imagine if we asked them to understand and seek the connections between all the content areas? Like, if we just even asked them the question, hey, you know, how can you show off your math skill by looking at SDG number 6? There's just so much to that. In my classroom in particular, we do math. I'm technically the ELA teacher, but we look at, like, if the world were a village of 100 people, we use ratios, percents, statistics to really think about, wow, only 1% of the world would have this, or only 16% of the world would actually have electricity. Like, we look at those numbers and the math side of things to create that deeper understanding. We use Gapminder to help kids see into other parts of the world. And I don't know if you've seen Dollar Street by Gapminder, but they actually go in and they'll show you people's houses and homes who live on anywhere from $1 a day to $6,000 a day. And there's, you get to see what people's, their homes, their bathrooms, their guest room, their school, their books, like you get to see how economics, how math, how finances equate to an experience of the world that probably is different than yourselves. If you even look at climate action, you can look at the timeline of everything climate action and dig into how our collective past actions can inform our present. Just how all of our past experience as humans on the planet shapes the world now, and how all of those systems are interconnected is a powerful way to connect to other content areas. Problem solvers, for example, I mean, in math, like you said, we're teaching kids to be problem finders and problem solvers, to be sustainable thinkers. That's math.
Right. Well, and mathematicians are using their math to solve problems, such as we use statistics and we use exponential growth. And, you know, math helps us to understand where we are today, what it was like in the past, and what it could be like in the future.
Absolutely. There's SDG websites and all kinds of websites that also show and track the goals in each country. So there's graphicacy, like learning graphs mm-hmm. and what is this graph really telling me? You know, what is this table really telling me? How can I understand what this information presented this way is really trying to share in a way that I can not just understand, but use to inform my current practice as a human being?
Right. So you talked about some resources. You brought in some websites that are out there to track. What resources would you recommend somebody who's interested in starting to integrate these SDGs into their curriculum?
There are so many. I guess I would start with people connections. So if you're on Twitter, that would be following hashtags. Just follow SDGs, follow Teach SDGs, take a look at Take Action Global. There's SDGs for Children. That's a website and platform run by Ayush Chopra, he's the youngest winner of the Diana Award for his work with the SDGs, specifically as he launched himself into the universe from India. Teach SDGs is Dr. Jennifer Williams. Like I said, Take Action Global is both Dr. Jennifer Williams and Anne Kuhn Timmers. Inspired Citizens, with Steve Sasek, Aaron Muniz, Kavita Tana, and Elizabeth Crawford, is fantastic for kind of deep level global impact profile, like student global impact profile work. That's really what's lighting me up a lot right now. Mm-hmm. It's that it's not just revolving around the goals. It's what's the deeper work we need to do in schools to create sustainable systems that transform education in a way that launch kids the way they can be launched using the SDGs as a tool. Innovation Lab schools are a great source of information. Beluga has a bunch on the SDGs. Nearpod has a bunch on the SDGs. There's really just so much. There's even a Microsoft course, I believe it's even free, on the SDGs that you could take just to learn kind of nuts and bolts. I think one of the more challenging things about the SDGs is that they can feel big at the start. They can feel like it's mm-hmm. this just humongous undertaking, and it doesn't have to be that way.
When we make students aware of their responsibilities and empower them to take action, we are building a generation where democracy and civic obligation are essential tenets. And through these tenets, we have hope for a better tomorrow. Rote memorization, worksheets, and tests limit our learners' potential and prepares them to only be reliant consumers. Instead, we need to challenge students to be active participants and see themselves as agents who have the capacity to impact their world. For more information about Julia, visit BeyondTheCurriculumPodcast.com and check out the show notes. If you enjoyed the program, be sure to hit the subscribe button as you will want to catch each and every episode. And remember to leave a rating and review. I appreciate your support and it helps others find the show. I'd like to encourage you to partner with me through my Patreon page. Your support will help offset the cost of producing this podcast and bring more meaningful opportunities that take learners beyond the curriculum.